morning, councillors.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I do say good morning to all councillors.
Yep.
In accordance with the local government meeting procedures, regulations 2015, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of the Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the Council Chamber, Hamilton, on Tuesday, 18th of March 2025, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting in accordance with the following agenda papers. And that, I won't go through the whole rigmarole, but section 65.2 forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated at Bothwell on the 13th of March 2025 by Stephen Mackey, the acting general manager. You would have read the order of business. The meeting commenced at 9 a.m. Audio recording disclaimer, you would have read that the mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings at the meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2750. The mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this country, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. The conduct of the council meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while present at council workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace, and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Present. Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Hall, Acting General Manager Stephen Mackey, our Finance Manager Zeeshan, and Katrina taking minutes. Is there any apologies? No, no apologies. I note Councillor Archer is not here yet. Two is consideration of supplementary agenda items on the agenda. Do you have your hand up, Councillor?
No, no. I don't have any. It's a fly.
Recommendation that Council resolve by absolute majority to deal with any supplementary items. On the agenda, as reported by the General Manager in accordance with Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, in accordance with the regulations of Part 2 Regulation 86 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council by absolute majority may decide to deal with a matter that is not on the agenda if, where the General Manager has reported either A, the reason is not possible to include the matter on the agenda, B, the matter is urgent, or C, that advice of a qualified person has been appointed, obtained and taken into account in providing advice to councillor under section 65 of the Local Government Act 1993. Number three on the agenda is declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. Do we have any?
Yes.
Yes?
I have one in the closed meeting.
Closed meeting is the acting GM, Stephen. Alrighty, any others? No. 3.1, declarations of pecuniary interest. In accordance with Regulation 87 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the chairperson requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or likely to have a pecuniary interest, any pecuniary or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item of the agenda. Do I have any, please? No, 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 all good. 3.2, is declaration of conflict under the model code of conduct made by the order of the minister responsible for local government. The following will apply to a councillor: conflict of interest that are not pecuniary, a councillor who has an actual, potential or perceived conflict of interest in a matter before the council must declare the conflict of interest and the nature of the interest before discussion on matters begin, act in good faith and exercise reasonable judgment to determine whether a reasonable person would consider that the conflict of interest requires the councillor to remove himself or herself physically from any council discussion and remain out of the room until the matter is decided by the council. Do we have any? Four is the minutes. 4.1 is the confirmation of draft ordinary council minutes on the 11th of February. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour. A seconder, Councillor Hall. Any comment, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No, ma'am.
Councillor Laws?
No, it's all right. I was thinking of something else.
Please put your hand in favour of the recommendation. Okay, that is carried. 4.2, receive of the audit panel meetings. The recommendation that the draft minutes of the planning committee meeting of council held on
the audit panel.
Yeah, that's a bit of a
typo.
That should be audit. Held on the 17th February, they received. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor Allwright. Councillor Meacham. Any comment, Councillor Allwright?
No.
Councillor Meacham?
No, it was a good meeting, though.
Councillor Laws? Please raise your hand in favour of the recommendation. That is carried.
What was the typo you talked about?
It's the planning committee.
With the decision.
Oh, yep.
5 is notification of workshops held. 15th of February was Ellendale, 18th of February and 25th of February. Any comments on that from you, Stephen?
Yeah, only that 25th of February, Councillor Meacham was down as being in attendance, and I don't think he was.
No, I wasn't. No, that's
okay.
Right. Thanks, Steve, you're right.
That can be corrected by the minutes. The recommendation of Council notes the following Council workshop conducted by Council since its last ordinary Council meeting. A mover, please. Councillor Hall. Councillor Hall, any comment?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No,
Councillor Laws? Councillor Miller?
Yeah, on the 18th, it put an apology for yourself and myself for not being there. I'd like to have it reviewed to say that we were there, not there because of council commitments.
We were at the Women's Conference, the Leadership Conference, so it would be good to have recorded the reason. I would agree with that as well. So could we please have that recorded? Councillor Archer. 5.1, future workshops. The purpose of the report
did
is...
Did we...
Sorry?
We didn't move that motion, did we?
Oh, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't I?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was seconded.
It was moved by Councillor Otto, seconded by Councillor Hall. Those in favour of that motion, please raise your hand. Okay, that is carried. We're just too efficient, sir. 5.1 is future workshops. The purpose of the report is for councillors to note the council workshop date. The proposed next council workshop will be held at Nyanna on the 22nd of March and the 1st of April, Bothwell. I have a query about the 1st of April and maybe even the GAP conference, so can I talk to you about that at a later date, Stephen?
The 2nd of April?
There's something.
Yeah, the GAP on the 2nd and 3rd.
I thought it was 1st and 2nd.
2nd and
3rd. Can we double check that?
Okay.
Councillor Cassidy.
There's a tourism thing at Ratho on the 1st also. I think it's between 12 and 2.
Yes.
So, I was thinking...
Maybe we look at changing the 1st. of April. I'll get the acting GM to check that out, and I'm just saying. Oh, Katrina's getting a report.
What's a bit later than that?
That's the one, Hamilton.
No, there's three.
Yeah, there's.
And what was it? Sorry, Councillor Cassidy, about those?
Yes, I think it's between 12 and 2 o'clock at Rath Oak Farm, some tourism event that Alex Heroy's sent to us, and I'd like to attend that because, you know, I'm kind of interested in tourism.
Well, yeah.
The one of Hamilton, I was going to, that's at Corinthia Fountain.
I don't have to travel too far.
Where are they, Katrina? Local government meeting is April
22nd.
Oh, sorry. April the 2nd, 2025, and at the Crown Plaza. Mayors and Deputy Mayors workshop is the next day, 3rd of April. And that's it, isn't it? Thanks, Katrina.
It's the 1st of April. If the meeting's at 9, we can be complete by 12, can't we?
Well, hopefully.
I would have thought so, yeah.
It's up to you guys. I mean, I was just throwing that out there.
Well, if we're going to be up there, over there, then it gives us a chance.
The workshop's a budget workshop, is it?
No, it's
just an ordinary workshop.
Yep. The one at Myena, are we organising a carpool for that? Or can we organise a carpool for it?
If you wish.
Instead of everybody taking their own cars up?
Yeah,
please. Was that with the GM?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So the 1st of April is on.
Yep.
Yes.
I'll be there part. Because I've got to work.
Yep. And the Ratho tourism event is in the afternoon at 12. Did you say, Councillor?
Yes, ma'am.
No, Councillor Hall.
That'll give us a chance.
So it says here the workshop's at 10 a.m. Maybe that 1st of April, we could do it at 9?
Yes, yeah. Steve,
it says there these workshops are to take place at Bockwell Chambers at 10 a.m.
Yeah, okay. You want them at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, well, if it's going to work in with the workshop at Rath Oak, it'll give us an hour.
Yeah,
it'll
be more regal room, yeah. 9 a.m. for the first.
For the first.
Yep. The first one on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Budget workshop schedule. Tuesday the 8th of April, Tuesday the 29th of April, Tuesday the 13th of May, Tuesday the 27th of May, and Tuesday the 10th of June, only if required. So we'll leave as is at the moment. These workshops should take place at the Bockwell Council Chambers starting at 10 a.m, except for the 1st of April. Any questions about that?
Nope.
All righty, so that's recorded. Closure of meeting to the public. May I have a move, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. But pursuant to Regulation 15 of Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority closed a meeting to the public to consider the following matters in closed session. Confirmation of the minutes closed session of the meeting of Council held on the 11th of February. Notice of a motion by Councillor Cassidy, and there will also be a letter on behalf that Stephen will read on my behalf. So I'll close the meeting to the public at 9:15. We'll go into close. Do you have your close? I'll read over the meeting to the public at 10 o'clock. Thank you. The meeting is reopened, and the Mayor advises to the meeting and members of the public that Council meetings, not including closed sessions, are ordered and recorded and published on Council's website. Members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of Council meetings without prior approval being granted. public release announcement. The Chair announced that pursuant to Regulation 15.8.9 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, and having considered privacy and confidential issue, the Council authorised the release to the public of the following discussions, decisions, reports or documents relating to the closed meeting, and released. Okay, and 2.1 will be that the minutes of the closed session of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 11th of February 2025 be confirmed. And 2 would be, oh, it's called 4.1, sorry, that council extend Mr. Mackey's contract, and I will read the resolution that council resolved to extend Mr. Stephen Mackey's current appointment as acting general manager pursuant to section 61B4 of the Local Government Act 1993 TAS to act in the office of general manager during every absence of the general manager on the same terms and conditions until Friday 21st of November 2025, and that the letter of appointment be signed by the Mayor and Deputy Mayor. Public question time. You would have read on your agenda that there are several dot points with public question time. In accordance with the Local Government Leading Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council conducts a public question time forum to enable members of the public to ask questions on Council-related matters. A period of 15 minutes, if required, will be set aside at the beginning of each ordinary council meeting to conduct public question time. A member of the public may give written notice to the general manager 7 days before a meeting of a question to be put to the meeting. No questions, public question time? No? No questions? Okie dokie. 10 is petitions, deputations, presentations. It's nil. Petitions, nil. Deputations, nil. Presentations, nil. Number 11 is notice of motions. Under Regulation 16 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, relating to motions on notice, it states the following. A councillor may give the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting give written notice of a motion, together with supporting information and reasons to be included on the agenda of meeting. 12 is council acting as a planning authority, nil. 13 is ordinary council meeting resumed, that's not required. 14 is monthly mayoral and elected members activities. This was a recommendation. Move, you're moving, Councillor Meacham. And seconder, please, Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham, any comments?
Yes, simply just a correction. I did not attend, as noted previously in this closed session. I was not in attendance in that workshop on 25th of February.
Thank you. That would be noted, Katrina. The seconder, Councillor Miller, do you have any comments?
No.
Councillor Laws? Councillor Oro?
Yeah, it's just going to be amended to add my commitment, which is same as Councillor Bailey's.
Same as Councillor Bailey's?
Yep.
Yeah?
I haven't received anything.
Oh, sorry, that's my apologies.
Any other comment on the commitments? 14.1 is mayoral announcements.
Can we have a motion?
We need
to move
motion.
Excited, didn't I? We've got a mover who was Councillor Meacham.
And Councillor Miller seconded.
Councillor Miller seconded. Councillor Orts. Councillor Meacham, do you have a right of reply?
Yes, I'm fine.
Councillor Miller as a seconder?
No.
Okay, Councillor Orts. Then I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Archer, are you in favour?
Yes, ma'am.
Please raise your hand. Okay, 14.1, mayoral announcements. I had a coffee with Inspector Luke Horn, who is the Inspector of Police within the area the other day, and we just had a discussion. I've invited him along to attend a council meeting to meet all councillors in the very near future. One thing that we did chat about, and I said chat, was about the road safety issues within the area, including, you know, the accidents that have happened on Hollow Tree Road. So we did have a conversation about that as well. But he's looking forward to coming along to a council meeting, meeting councillors, and I'm just waiting on a date from him to see when he can come along. So that was all good. 15, operational.
Should we raise the fact that the Governor is attending on the 28th?
Yes, we could have raised that. At the moment, Katrina is organising with me the Governor's meeting, and I did get an email sent out to you all asking, did you have any ideas of where we might be able to take the Governor? And my email was one that stood out. But I don't know whether there's been feedback come in, Katrina, has there, from councillors? Any suggestions?
There's been a couple of councillors that have emailed, so we'll talk about it after the meeting.
We'll talk about that after the meeting, so that's just an update on the Governor's visit. 15, operational matters arising, strategic theme, community wellbeing. 15.1, Health and Wellbeing Plan, 2020-2025, Monthly Progress Report. A mover, please. Councillor Honor, and a seconder, please. Councillor Miller. Councillor Honor, do you have any comments?
No.
Councillor Miller, as a seconder?
Only about the Anzac Day that Jim and I, Councillor 409, organising what's happening here at Capital.
Yeah, I have a meeting with Cat to organise that too after. Any other comments from councillors? No. Alrighty.
Cat and I will be having a discussion about the youth school with representatives from the education department on Wednesday.
Okay, that is good. There's... I think councillors were aware that we went to the school.
Mm-hmm.
With Minister Palmer.
Yeah. I've complained about the tight time frame in the discussions with the community, and that's why they're meeting with us.
Yep, okay. I went to the community meetings with the Education Department and was quite disappointed with the Education Department representatives at that meeting. Anyway, that is ongoing. We'll keep you informed as we progress. 15.1. It was moved by Councillor Honor, second by Councillor Miller. Right, a reply, Councillor Honor, anything?
No.
Okay. Councillor Miller, you're fine with that? Okay, those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hand. That is carried. All right. Councillor Cassidy.
I was waiting for 15.2. I wanted to speak to that.
I thought you might have. I thought you may have, Councillor. That moved by Councillor Cassidy. Second, please. Councillor Miller. Councillor Cassidy.
Tying into this oral health action plan, I just sent everybody an email. I don't know if you received it or not, with the letter addressed to me from the Honourable Roger Yench. Fluoridation will be provided to the Bothwell drinking water in mid to late 2026. That will happen, so it's, I guess, a win for us, a win for council, a win for the community, and their oral health and hard topics ever.
So thank you, Councillor Cassidy. I know you've been passionate about this for some time. Councillor Miller, as a seconder, do you have anything to
say? After I was reading it and the email that Councillor Cassidy sent, I was just wondering if there was a way at the Albert Hughes at the health centre that we could organise Allied Health to have, even if it's only a dental nurse of some kind, to do once a month check-up for the kids, because I don't think that the school dentist goes down around anymore, and being so far out, well, some people think well, in the back of Woolworth, that maybe we could look at that as an after-school project.
Councillor Meacham then, all right.
Oh, just to note this, that I think oral health has been a public policy failure repeatedly for decades, and that the most significant thing we could do at the national level would be to extend Medicare to cover oral health.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it would make dramatic improvements in heart health in particular.
Thank you.
The government, state government, used to have the like a dental facility at Glenora for years and years. But didn't make any difference. effectively supporting what David was saying. They had a dental clinic at Glenora.
Years ago, the old dental band used to go around the school.
Well, probably came from that era. I don't know what the answer is.
Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, Mayor, to reinforce what David is saying. You know, if we look at the bigger picture, we look at ambulance ramping, we look at emergency room visits.
That's all right, just talking about it.
We look at ambulance ramping, we look at emergency room visits, you know, folks have a cardiac arrest and so, you know, so as David was saying, is the oral health is very important, because bad oral health leads to gum disease leads to heart disease, leads to emergency room visits, leads to ambulance ramping. So, you know, if we could possibly fix this, you know, over maybe, I don't know, a generation, but perhaps, I don't know, Mayor, if you got time to write another letter, maybe you could possibly write to maybe even a federal minister. Regarding this, and you know, just let them know that the Central Highlands, they're not a very wealthy municipality, and we would probably have some of the worst health maybe in the nation. So if we could raise the level of awareness, this would be good. And perhaps through Jackie Petrusen as well, our Minister for Health, you know. So, so up to you. I'll leave that with you. I know you're busy.
No, not too busy for anything to do with health, that's for sure. We just need to prioritise. Well, Councillor Cassidy's closed the debate now, so I'll put the recommendation. I'll put the recommendation forward.
Keep the mic, keep
it on close. It was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller. Those in favour of the recommendation, that is carried. Do we need, I think we need a motion that the Mayor write to the Federal Minister.
I've noted that down, so we'll just do that anyway.
Can do it as a notation?
Yeah.
Okay, happy with that, Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you.
Recommendation: the Council contribute $250 to Gretna Cricket Club for the 2025 Junior and Senior Trophy presentations from the Community Grants Allocation. A mover, Councillor Honour. A seconder, Councillor Bailey. Councillor Honour, any comments?
It's a worthwhile presentation to these up-and-coming young people.
Very good. Councillor Bailey?
I'm pretty right, Mayor. Just as it's good to see these clubs going ahead like they are.
We're, yeah, really we're doing, good. We are doing well with our young clubs. Councillor Allwright.
Very successful cricket club, probably the most successful and strongest cricket club in the district, and we've sort of got to support them.
And the Bothwell Bucks are going well too. They've got, what, 3-4 teams? Councillor Cassidy.
I've got a good question for you. You notice that this agenda item on 17.3, it's on page 20, but then we jump down to 16, operational matters, on the next page. So I think perhaps the agenda is slightly out of sequence. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah. Is that out of
order? Doesn't matter.
It needs to be 15.3, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He said 17.3.
Yes,
it's about 15. Yes, it should be 15.3.
So what are we doing?
It's just come in the wrong order.
Yeah.
It's just the order, was it?
Yeah.
It's good you picked it up. Very good. Now I've got your vote. Okay, the recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Alrighty, that is carried. Section 16 is operational matters arising, the strapped theme, infrastructure and facilities. 16.1 is the works and services, which recommendation was moved by Councillor Bailey, seconded by Councillor Miller. Councillor Bailey, any comments on the works and services?
Yeah, Mayor, I've travelled a fair few roads in the last month. You wouldn't get better roads, gravel roads, than the boys have got going around now. My word, you wouldn't. For this time of the year.
They do a marvellous job. They do. Thank you. Any other comments there? Councillor Miller is a seconder.
Just the Fellers Maker Lane. It's great to see them widening that, and hopefully in the not too distant future we'll have the whole road sealed. But they're doing a good job with that one too.
There's many
another chunk out of this year's budget.
Many good comments about the Thousand Acre Lane.
Well, the comment that also that I would make is that the workers are on that road are very courteous and with the big machinery moving over to allow people to pass through. So they've been really good.
Yeah, and the Ellendale Road sealed, 14 Mile unsealed, Hollow Tree Road sealed, Interlaken Highlands End unsealed, the Strickland Road unsealed, Thousand Acre sealed, Victoria Valley sealed, Watermana Crossroads to Ouse unsealed, Watermana South Hermitage unsealed, Waiatina Road sealed, Waiarija Road unsealed. So, you know, there's a hell of a lot of roadworks happening, as we know, and I think it's really to commend Jason and the Works and Services Group workers.
Yeah.
Councillor Miller,
Mitchell. Oh, look, yeah, I didn't realise we'd moved on to 16.2 and I wanted to speak to it. I was hoping that Jason would be in attendance, but GM Steve, you might know, is this traffic count? This traffic counting was very much an initiative of Councillor Hall and myself to establish, you know, sort of a good basis for funding decisions. Has this budget item been fully expended, the traffic counting budget, or is there still something left for the rest of the year?
I still think we've got the traffic counter out there, but I'm not sure how many more roads we were going to put it on.
Yeah. I understand it was being dealt with by, excuse the conversation if that's okay. I understand it's being done by contractors on a very reasonable basis.
Councillor Merchant, we haven't got to 16.2 yet. I haven't moved this one.
Well, that's what happened.
It's all included.
It's all included.
Why is 16.2?
Good question, but anyway.
Yeah. But that's why I was trying to buy your recounting of all of those items, and I presume you had moved on, Mayor.
Just a minute, so.
Yeah, we'll combine them in.
Combine them.
Yeah,
we'll combine them.
Okay. So.
Jason is.
Sorry,
he's on his way over.
He's on his way over. Can we revert to
want to hold off and come back to that?
Yes, if that's okay.
Okay.
Can you, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll come back to that too.
Yeah.
I'll hear Councillor Cassidy. So he'll only be half a minute. So.
Okay.
Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, sir, Madam Mayor. I had a good conversation with our acting general manager regarding the speeding and so forth. I wanted to point out Allendale Road. Got a car there, a couple of cars actually, 130 to 140 kilometers per hour, another 140, 50, and then 150 to 160 around 4 to 8 p.m. Respectively. And other roads as well. Now, I have to say that I came back on Saturday afternoon about 4:54 at 5 o'clock, and three vehicles, an old Toyota Land Cruiser behind me, and then myself, and then a white Toyota pickup truck in front of us along Highland Lakes Road heading toward Bothwell, and all three of us passed by a Goldwind tray top ute. And, you know, I was hoping that perhaps when you speak again to Inspector Horn, the new inspector out there at Bridgewater, perhaps you might be able to raise these issues with him, that we could have a little bit more police presence on these roads.
Yeah,
for speeders. It's just, and in the Sunday paper also,
yeah.
You know, a couple of Sundays ago, there was motorcycles, six of them, I think, from Victoria, that were roaring down on Highland Lakes Road, and police were asking for, you know, camera data. You know, so it just shows that there's just insufficient police. We probably need three police per station, actually, instead of just one.
And you will get that opportunity when we've invited him to come along. And it's important that all councillors have something to raise with him. But he is aware of some of those issues. Sure. I know that for a fact.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, so, Councillor Mill.
I know I spoke to 16.1, but I also wanted to speak to this one.
We're combining them.
Yeah, yeah. So can I have another, thank you. The 14 mile road one, I noticed that there was a lot of the vehicles going up there were cars towing trailers. I gather that either trailers or caravans or whatever. And I know it's a logging road, but if that's the case, would it be something to look at in the future to seal that road, especially with tourists going up that way, not having to go down through Tarawea?
In
the future, the 14-mile road, because it cuts off quite a bit of travel.
Yeah.
But say sometime in the future, we look at probably sealing that road.
You see when we you see what sealing does to the speed limits?
Yes, I know what sealing does to the speed limits.
So, you know,
that'd be a check if we got two. That's wet.
Yeah, that's
no,
but it is an expensive road to maintain, isn't it? 40 miles.
It is.
Yeah,
but to seal it.
Welcome, Jason and Barry. We have a question from Councillor Meacham to Jason, isn't it?
Yes.
Go ahead, Councillor.
Jason, thanks for attending us now. This is great. Very good report, by the way. We're really well written, good analysis there. A few questions. How much budget and how many more county sites remain?
Good question, but quite a few.
Quite a few counting sites that you want.
The plan is, I mean, if you look at what's our network, about 740 yeah. kilometres of road,
yeah.
how many individual roads, I'm not 100% sure, but the plan is, I suppose, at this stage is, trying to do our high volume, what we believe from local knowledge,
yeah.
our high volume sealed network and our high volume unsealed network.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's obviously a lot of small roads within the municipality that we know by local knowledge only receives, you know, minimal traffic, one vehicle a day.
So we're
probably not going to target those just yet.
Yeah.
So, but how many it would be, there'd still be, I would imagine, you know, a good 15 to 18 months.
That's important because, you know, John and I might be moving again for an extension of budget.
Yeah.
Because of the budget related to this operation.
Yeah. And to install more.
Oh, no, or to, yes, to install more.
And extend it.
Yeah.
So there would be, you know, I mean, really another good couple of years to gain data that we need just because the network's so vast.
But it's also stable, so it gives us a long-term resource. Information resource.
Yeah, sure. So
just one thing I'd love to see count on the lodge end of Jones Road.
Yep.
No. Says 130 premises and 22 of them full-time occupied.
Yeah.
And it's a major issue, and including the fire station, the ambulance station, the community centre.
Yeah.
So down that end, if that's feasible, please.
Sure. Yeah, no, we've Barry and I spoke about that sort of area, so we would... probably wait till we get a few more of our unsealed ones out of the way, and then move back to that area, and then just do those subdivision roads around. So
thank you.
It's difficult because you don't want to move them. We're trying to get the higher volume ones, we think. So you're sort of going from here to there. We're trying to prioritise them.
That's right.
Even though they're not
a time,
so it's a little bit difficult, but
Okay, we look forward to further reports in the
Thank you, Jason. Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, Jason. Could you tell me, do you recall the length of 14 Mile Road? Is it 14 miles? Or?
It's about 29 kilometres, I think.
Could you also confirm it's about $1 million a kilometre to seal the road?
Look, that's approximately. It could be depending on the design, survey, what's involved in the design. I mean, if it's a lot of bulk earthworks and more material has to be brought in, vegetation removal, drainage, boundary surveys, all that comes to the play. I think
for an average of 63 cars a day, $14 million, do you think that's appropriate?
No. I don't think that's...
You need to think about that a little bit.
I did say in the report.
I think the big problem, it's not a longer road, it's a council asset road with a road manager, but it is there's a high volume of forest stakeholders that use that road. Even though you seal the road, okay, that's fine, and you do it to design, and the amount of traffic and heavy vehicles that should be used in that road, so if you were to seal it. But as we know, heavy vehicles do damage roads.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even though, although it's, it is one of our most expensive unsealed roads in our network to maintain, if you seal it, defects will occur, no doubt, especially because of the high volume of log trucks that use it. So we've got our own quarry. It's easier to maintain and fill some potholes and grade some corrugation from around quarry than, we seal it and you start getting defects, then, you've got to get contractors in. That material has to come from, Hobart or Brighton. So it's more logistically a bit difficult.
I appreciate your expertise. I was just pulling up.
Councillor
Allwright
would like to say
something. So if I can ask Jason, the Victoria Valley Road sealed part of it, but that could include largely the local traffic rather than through traffic.
Right.
So would a plan be to move it further up onto the gravel
later? They move to the top end of Victoria Valley next, and we'll do one in the middle. So those larger unsealed roads that are 20, 30 kilometres.
Yeah.
The idea is to probably put them in two or three locations.
Yeah, and pick the local traffic and the through traffic. Yeah.
Just because, the data that we're trying to gain, I suppose, is what type of vehicles, how many vehicles, and speed to some extent. So when we first installed these starting off, we probably didn't install them in the correct locations to gain appropriate speed data, because we were putting the traffic counters in places that we could keep them safe. So you tie them to a pole or a bridge or something like that. So in some of the locations, they weren't necessarily in the appropriate place to really gain appropriate speed data, because they might have been on a sharp bend or near a bridge or something. So we are looking at that now and try to gain the speed as well. Not the case in all of them, but it was just where we was able to put the traffic counter. But we are improving that as we install to gain more appropriate speed data.
Councillor Major.
A question for GMC. When it comes to budget time, do John and I, sorry, Councillor Hall and I, need to make a fresh application, or do we have this just simply vote on it as a continuing budget item?
Perhaps do it as a continuing budget item.
Okay, thank you. And the other point I'd make is that speed enforcement isn't our area. It might be useful for two pass different police.
But sure, and that's why I think we never really sort of, you know, so we will, if we can, we will try and gain, you know, as appropriate data as we can, but it was more volume and types of vehicles, to support our capital work program.
Yeah, that's how I said. Thank you. In regards to the Hollow Tree Road, what is the speed limit on the Hollow Tree Road?
100.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not speeding now. It says here the speed limit is assumed at 80.
Yeah, okay, so that's my mistake. Yep.
Alrighty, back to the mover, who is Councillor Bailey, right of reply. Do you have anything to say, Councillor Bailey? Councillor Miller, you're the seconder.
I'm right, thanks, Nick.
Councillors have had a chat. Any other councillors? Councillor Archer?
Yes, Mayor, I was just very interested that how many more units you believe we really require to get a snapshot. I imagine you're moving them around to see if it does.
I was unsure of how long they should be out there to gain the appropriate data, but we thought about 3 weeks. That seems to be giving us, a fair sort of...
And season, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we're doing it, as soon as we're changing straight away, so you do have to look at it, if he was looking at a road and the data had been gathered in school holidays, for instance, or a long weekend, that all comes into play as well. So, but we're just continuously doing it. But, we've got the two traffic counters that are at the moment. You could do the four in a day?
Probably can't. It depends on what area you have.
Yeah, so probably enough. Then you've got to pay for another day to set up and take down and move. So
a 10 grand a unit.
And a 10 grand a unit. So, yeah, probably another one you might get. So another one would probably be all right. And you could probably fit that in the day, moving them.
It's just been wonderful, the data you've managed to collect already.
Mm.
It really aids. In fact, I think the savings will be much greater than any cost, and much more useful in terms of our strategic direction.
It's probably something that really continuously needs to be doing because of our large network. I'm not sure on state growth. I think they may do, it might be every 3 to 5 years they gain data on their roads. I mean, by the time we get around our network, those roads that were done first were probably 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's something that really probably needs to continually be done all the way now, really. Mm-hmm. So,
but basically, another unit would fill a lot of gaps in.
You're going to get around the network quicker. Mm-hmm. And, it depends, does council want to get all their entire network, so every road that we've got in the municipality, but through local knowledge and just being on the council for a long time, I know that some of those roads do only see one vehicle a day. Mm. Do we need to put it out to gain information on those?
No.
Probably not, but I think the streets around our town, rural towns, as in Ouse, Hamilton and Bothwell, would need to be done.
And from looking at some of the speed data and the areas where you have these in place, Are there recommendations? I know they don't take much notice of them. We do go back in terms of making suggestions about appropriate speeds, but I know on some of our rural roads, particularly in the Highlands, people just go way too fast for road conditions most of the time. Do you believe we can make a case?
My personal belief, what I've seen in the past,
they take no notice of
that. That's right. I think the people that are doing the incorrect speed limit and doing the wrong thing tend to do that anyway, regardless of what signage is in place or what speed limit is in place. I don't think you'll solve it.
Well, the good thing is at least it gives us data to go back to the police force and say, look, we've got real concerns about this sort of road.
And if Barry and I do see anything in this data, which we already have, like with Waiatuna Road, you know, in exceptional circumstances where there are, you know, as you say, vehicles doing 140 kilometres an hour, we will notify Tas Police.
Right, yeah. Thanks very much, Mick.
All righty, thank you. Councillor Cassidy, you have spoken.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to point out one more thing along with.
You're not closing the debate now.
No. I wanted to say, Jason, you know, that little section of William Street between the garage and the rec grounds there, people just do not take any notice that it's still 50, and, you know, they're doing easily 70, 80, 100. Motorcycles, especially on, you know, Friday nights, weekends. And it seems to me, I mean, we've got a local copper, but he doesn't take any notice of it, you know. I was hoping that maybe somehow we might be able to raise a little bit of awareness, because there are people, there's a young child that lives on that street, a dog that lives on the corner where that young child lives, you know.
Just on that, I mean, obviously when the speed limit got changed from 60 to 50 through the township of Offal, you know, most people that's been there through there since it's changed, there's quite a few still speeding, as Council Hall probably know, but I did notice the local policeman was there quite a bit.
I think he said he said to me in conversation that the speed limit signs up towards the Hobart end of the town, the signs, he said that they were, one was a little bit too far off the side of the road and the other one was covered.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stuck DSG responsibility, but I did trim around those signs. And I think, I don't know why one was installed where it is, but I did notice that myself. But we did, the council never installed them, DSG did, but I have trimmed trees around it, yeah.
Alrighty, back to the mover. Write a reply, Councillor Bailey. You're right with that?
Yep.
Second to Councillor Miller. Now I'll put it for the recommendation to councillors. Those in favour, raise your hand. Alrighty, that is carried. Thank you. Thank you for Works and Services. Okay. And we get nothing but good comments about the road, so well done.
Can I suggest, Mayor, I have some questions about capital.
The road's closed, sorry.
No, I'm not. Just asking you not to.
We still...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, we have to be careful with our procedures.
Sure.
17.1 is the monthly finance report and welcome session, and I can only say I get nothing but good comments about you. You're doing a wonderful job. So I'll give the table to you. Off you go. I better have a mover, I guess. Councillor Hall, Councillor Miller. Okie dokie.
So we already spent until February 70% of our budgets on operation expenditures. And then our capital expenditures, we already spent 35% of that. We have a big major project is going on in the next 3 months time. And those are actually 1,000 acre lines, Altus Lake and Hamilton Shore Branch we are working on right now. And So operation budget electorally is similar as its last February, almost. And with capital budget is actually we had we did actually less spend as compared to the last February, and by the time in May we actually we will eventually complete our most of the projects. And in bank accounts we have 3.5 million in reserves, and more than 1.5 is actually in our bank accounts, current bank accounts, so that total actually is 5 million almost. And we are expecting the remaining amounts from road to recovery. We already received this month one second payment, and we will eventually the third and fourth payment will be before 30th of June, which would be actually around $365. We have in this report until February, we will expecting the rights around until June around 1.1 billion. And until today, we are able to save actually. We have actually left over, around 800 something. So we are actually good to go with it, like this financial year. We need to look on the other factors for the next financial year in case you want to increase more rights. And we always be in a hard schedules in the end of the financial year.
Thank you, Zeeshan. Councillor Archer, then Councillor Meacham.
Thanks very much for updating us. A couple of quick questions, in fact, three of them. One is, I note that we're slow on our capital expenditure. Does that mean that it's coming, but we haven't spent it yet, or does it mean that there's every chance that we might be able to do something about trimming our budget back into a sensible position? The second question is, we seem to run our reserves down. I remember us having $13 million in the bank. You're telling us we've only got $4 million in total now, is that right?
So reserve banks in right now is $3.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
2024 June we had last financial year we had $6 million of the starting of the financial year.
Wow. So $3 million down on last year, but I think 2 or 3 years ago we had $13 million. So we're running our reserves down by 75%.
That's correct.
Would you finish with?
Yeah, absolutely. So would you like to comment first of all on the first question? Have we managed to?
So the capital works is to come.
It is to come. So it will be.
Yeah. So capital, most of the projects actually we do get funding from the government grants. So it's not a burden. It's all cover up. Especially the biggest projects for this financial year, which is 1.6 million for 1,000 acre mines. The council is only funding around $200,000 on that project. The remaining amount will be come from two different grants. One is called Road to Recovery. The other one is called LRCR, which is actually they're going to be actually pay us for. $400,000 actually.
So the capital works expenditure isn't running the reserve down anymore, from what you're saying, really?
No, actually. The reserve is actually going to be increased by next financial year,
mm-hmm.
and not actually going to be go down, because we are actually already working on the for next financial year to increase our reserves. Mm-hmm. And that's our actually major focus on that next financial year. Mm-hmm. And by the end of this July, it's actually the total amount we will be having in our accounts in 7 million, but that's not actually excluding the expenditures we will be made actually until June.
I don't understand. So
until today is 5 million right now we have.
Mm-hmm.
We will actually expecting to be 1.1 million until February in rights actually, and then the remaining amount we will get from the road to recovery, so which all actually add up to 7 million. But that's actually the revenue, not the expenditures actually been excluding from that.
So that's a timing thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you have
it
with that, Councillor Archer?
Thank you very much.
Councillor Meacham, then Cassidy.
A series of questions. One, is there a bottleneck in terms of the capital expenditure? That is to say, are there staff constraints, for example, in terms of getting certain projects started?
Contractor.
Is a contractor?
Yeah, well, 1,000 acre lane has commenced.
Yeah.
And we've only received the first payment of, and the total project value was 1.6.
Yeah.
So and we've only received the first payment of 160,000. So there's all that to come for the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
That only commenced 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Our reseal program, which roadways have will undertake. That's due to commence in the next month. Plant purchase, there's a backhoe that'll be purchased. So that'll come before the end of the financial year. So some of it's been restraints on contractors, some of it's been just the logistics of where you get the contracts out and award the contracts as well.
That's what I'm concerned about. Okay. One of my pet projects, the viewing platform on the platypus form.
That is, we haven't forgot about it, but once again, very slow. We're waiting on prices for so we are chasing that up. That's still hoping to be completed.
Okay, second query, probably to GM Steve and maybe Zishan too. Page 33, the on costs under corporate and financial services, you've got sums there in double brackets. What do they relate to, and do they relate to the dysfunction we've suffered since April last year? Do they relate to legal and consultancy costs? The on costs.
On costs actually is comprises of a few factors.
Yes.
It's actually internal plant sales, and then the internal plant sales, so it's actually in-house costs actually. We don't actually pay to someone. We do actually execute the expenditures such as like a salaries. So for example, if someone actually working on certain roads, we do actually separate those salaries to be paid that person into different segments to see different roads, and that is actually on call section.
So that's under the corporate and financial services heading on page 33?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually, if you look on the corporate and finance on calls, it's $543,000.
Yes.
So we do actually do costing on cost on 60% of basis of our salaries and then internal plant hires as well.
Okay. Second question, do we expect, I know the state grants process was going to be, you know, the improved state grants process was going to be rolled out over a number of years. Do we have an indication as to the boost in funding in the coming financial year?
So we had actually had a meeting with the state commissions last week, but because we don't know how much actually is going to be expecting until they do actually issue the paper.
Right.
And that meeting actually is only about the questions in regards to what are the factors and issues we are facing and what we are expecting from the state grants for the income of federal assistance grants.
Yes.
But obviously from the last few years it's been increasing by more than 3%.
Okay, but more than that, there's the whole change to the methodology that was supposed to deliver $470,000 extra income per year for us. Do we have a timeline for completion of the implementation of that?
Normally they phase it in between 3 and 5 years, depending on the amount.
And we've had 1 year of phase.
Okay, so we've got another couple of years before they phase it in.
Yeah, and you don't have any idea in terms of the quantum of the next tranche of funds?
It wasn't for the want of trying when we had the meeting with the Grants Commission, but they weren't prepared to let anything out of the bag. Normally it's CPI and the amount provided is also indexed by the federal government. Whether it's going to be indexed this year, we don't know.
What I'm more concerned in terms of the quantum of it.
Can't give you an answer.
Okay, thank you.
It was being reviewed though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Possibly.
Okay, yes. Councillor Cassidy is next.
Yes. Got to three points. One would be to Stephen about the $50,000 to Telstra. I heard from another council that they wouldn't subsidize Telstra. And I wanted to find out, since that delivery of the Pelham Tower is a failed project, are we still going to be paying the $50,000 to Telstra, or can we thumb our nose at them?
There's probably a yes and no in that question. Quite clearly, we'll continue to push it. Council have a contractual obligation that they've signed in regards to the Pelham Tower. And I think that in the future, that any agreements or anything we do with Telstra, we need a substantially stronger contract than the one they provided the last time around. And that depends on whether we are prepared to put money in at all. So
a couple other questions I have is Perhaps Zishan or Mayor or Stephen, you might talk to me about the underutilization of the medical centers, it says here. Should only be one medical center, Bothwell. I have a hard time imagining the medical center being underutilized since Ooze has closed, and every time I go in there, you know, and for an appointment, it's usually an hour that I'm sitting around before I actually get seen. So I have a hard time imagining that it's underutilized. And if it is underutilized, then I'm wondering if the management of that medical center may be looking for more money to offset the lack of bulk billing, and et cetera. You see, this underutilization of the medical center actually is a worry, because we don't want them to close down.
No.
So, can somebody give me some insights, what you think? Or do you have any comment on it?
I think Pat Pullen actually is already working on in regards to the Ooze actually medical center. Mm-hmm. And she actually would be, she's the mother, and she's a person actually can comment on that. What's the update on that project right now?
All right, so we'll just do that then. The final point that I wanted to make is that the Auditor General some years ago had recommended that we should be at about $6.5 million in the bank, and we're currently about $5.16 million in the bank. So we're not far off targets, about $1.4 million or so that we have to generate to be at that number. So, you know, I think that's good, but it would be better if we could.
Councillor Custody, just back to where you were talking about the Youth Medical Centre.
Yes, ma'am.
We're still waiting on Minister Guy Barnett's announcement that he was going to get a GP up there twice a week. Now, that hasn't happened, and I think he needs to be reminded.
Do you want me to pester him? I'm good at pestering politicians.
I can't instruct you to pester anyone, but I'm still waiting on that announcement, so I think I might jog his memory as well.
Jason, Madam Mayor, could I just touch on the capital works for a moment?
Sure.
So, listen, and I think if you are correct, I mean, the Council's capital works program over the last 5 to 6, 7 years have been fairly intense, and I've had some good conversations with the General Manager of late, and you know, we've had some major projects throughout the municipality, which is great, improved our assets, and I think there was also some talk, you know, with the possibility of mergers, you know, to fund some more projects from council with their reserves, which we probably did. But, you know, we're due for a road revaluation again this year. So, yeah, Barry and I have spoken, and we'll bring our capital works, you know, to a minimum. You know, what we need to do by our road revaluation, prioritise those roads that need to be resealed or upgraded. We've got a small section of 1,000-acre lane that will remain uncompleted of 1.3 kilometres, and that will be then completed. So, yeah, we are mindful of it, as well as our plant replacement. We still need to, you know, you still need to do one large piece of plant, we believe, each year, along with our two or three minor small bits, so that you don't have that backlog in the future. But we've spoke to the GM in relation to that as well, so we are very mindful of it, and we'll be coming back to do what we believe is the priority work in accordance with our road revaluation.
Thank you.
Councillor Hall, you're the mover. Do you have?
No, one? I didn't move that.
I've got you down as the mover.
No, well,
I have
two. Yeah, I have two.
So you moved it. Councillor,
if you're asleep, later on.
I've got you as a second. So I'll ask you in a minute.
Yeah, no, nothing to say there. No.
Okay, Councillor Minnis.
I was just going to ask. The Ooze Medical Centre, isn't that down, hasn't that got the ambulance in it now?
But you mean hasn't it got the ambulance in it?
No, the Ouse Medical Centre, where the doctors were, the ambulance is up there now, aren't they?
The offices.
The offices there, but the ambulance is the residents that belong to the council.
It was just something that Councillor Cassidy said, with it being unutilised. But I was still hoping that the ambulance was still up there.
Oh, the ambulance is still there.
Okay, that's fine.
Yep. So it was moved by Councillor Hall, second by Councillor Miller. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you. 18 is operational. Thank you, Works and Services.
Thank you.
Thank you. 18 is operational matters arriving, strategic scene, natural environment. 18.1 is the Do and Catchment Report. The report for March 25, 2025, be received. Councillor Honour, Councillor Archer.
Mayor, in regard to the, I have a question in regard to the report.
Oh, that's Councillor Honour first as a mover. Mm-hmm. Councillor.
Just an excellent report once again.
Very good. Councillor Archer as a seconder.
Mayor, I notice in the document that's been provided, it says that they've completed the Clyde River 3 implementation plan, which has been sent to the National Emergency Management Agency for review. Could they provide a copy of that to council?
To council, I think we should have a copy, yes. We'll go through the acting GM for that one. He'll take care of that, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Archer, are you the seconder? Councillor Meacham.
Oh, just this, that they haven't made mention of the fact that ADMS actually came through with the funding of that. The report doesn't touch on the fact that the funding actually came through from ADMS for the weed control program in the, on the Central Plateau. So that's another success on their part, and I'm proud to have been part of that work.
Very good. Any other comments, councillors, councillors? No? Okay. Write a reply, Councillor Honour. Anything? Alrighty, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you. 18.2 is Lakes Around Crescent are water level operating procedures, moved by Councillor Archer, the recommendation, and Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Archer, would you like to speak to this?
I would, Mayor. I believe that there's a deficit in the operating procedures, and I'd like to see Council write to the Minister, and also including Amanda Locatelli, who as I understand is the Acting Water Management Branch. The deficit, in my view, is that the consultation that's taking place with the operating procedures should include council, and should include affected landowners, which it includes people around the lakeside, it includes irrigators, but it does not include people affected by flooding. And I believe that's a very serious deficit in terms of consultation, particularly under 2 and under 8 of the operating procedures. And so I would request that council write and ask for some amendments to the operating procedures to make sure that council are consulted, and by that I mean our council as well as the GM, but also that the affected landowners be included in the consultation process prior to releases occurring from the lakes. An example I can give is that Nant Lane flows through our farm, and also we have bridges that are flooded at Andrews Bridge. We've got infrastructure around Lake Cruden and Sorrel, which we maintain the roading up there. And I think that there are two deficits in this document. One of them is that there is no consultation. So what can happen, for instance, if managed sensibly, instead of the river flooding, it can be kept within its banks a lot of the time, simply by taking a more prudent approach and a longer term approach to the management. But I wouldn't like to see that operate to council's negative effect. What could if you interpret from that, is that we want to release water from the lakes. That's not the case at all. I think what we're talking about here is a distinction between Lake Crescent and Lake Sorell. Mm. Lake Sorell, for instance, there's a choke point between the two lakes, which is called Commode's Cut. And Peter Bignall, who was the water manager for many years, said that the in high rainfall events, up to 2.5 years' water supply for the community can be held in Lake Sorell. And simply can't flow into Lake Crescent with a deleterious effect because of the choke. In other words, you can overfill Lake Sorell in those very wet years, and what it does is it gives the community a bank of water, effectively. And so the other areas where I've got concerns about are, we need to be not just in here, in the document it spells out at this level, at that volume, we need to be cognizant of what's happened in the past. In the past, the higher lake, Lake Sorell, might be inundated for 2 years, not for 2 weeks. And good, that helps us all. You know, it stores water for the community, not just for the townships, but also for other users, but also a sensible approach to releases from Lake Crescent can be done to not damage our infrastructure, can be done to not damage farmland, can be done to keep the river generally within its banks. Now, we can't always do that, but if, as long as we can solve it, at least council can have some serious input into how it's managed. Jason's no mug. He knows how this operates, as do the landowners along the river. So I think that we need to make them aware of those 2 points, and I'm happy to work with Katrina after the meeting just to draft a letter along those lines.
So, to the acting GM, have you got all that?
I've got the notes down, yeah.
And you're happy for Katrina to draft a letter with Councillor Archie?
I do have 2 meetings after this meeting.
Oh, well, any time, in fact, I'm happy to leave you to do it if you feel that, you know, you've got the gist of what we're around the council are concerned about.
So you work with Katrina with that one?
Absolutely, happy to.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
Oh, well, sure. I just wanted to reinforce some of what Anthony said about the levels. I think the levels need to be managed a bit better between Lake Sorell and Crescent. And it should be, when it talks about a collaborative effort, it should also, you know, include a council as well as the Clyde River Trust and so forth, and the department. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that. I support what Anthony's said.
All righty, any councillors' comments? Okay. Write a reply, Councillor Archer. You happy with all that?
I am, Mayor. I'm happy I've been involved in the River Clyde Trust for a long time, so I've got an understanding from the Trust perspective, but also wearing a landowner hat and wearing the hat of someone who's seen our roading damaged, in my view, unnecessarily much of the time, just with a bit of sensible planning. One of the things that I actually think is a good thing in the document is that it talks eight days ahead of a forecast large event. Great. You know, that's the sort of sensible approach that we need. You know, none of these events are sure, but we've seen very sensible outcomes happen in some Queensland, northern New South Wales by earlier releases, this sort of stuff, when you can see a 10-inch rainfall event occurring. That's exactly what should happen, but council, in my view, is entitled to be consulted, as are some landowners.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'll put the recommendation forward. It was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Cassidy. For council laws, those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried. 19, operational matters arising. 19.1 is the development and environmental services. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham. Is Graham attending or?
No. Is it an appeal at the moment on a wind farm?
How lucky is he? Okay.
Is Stephen able to brief us on some of these things? Have you any input into the demolition and dwelling retrospective, you know, how that's come about being retrospective, for instance?
I'd have to talk to Graham, so what I'll do is I'll get some feedback from him and provide it to all councillors.
Thank you very much.
So it was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Meacham. Councillor Honour, any comments?
No.
Councillor Meacham?
No, that's fine.
Councillor Laws, Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, and I made it. I think they pointed out a very good point. It seems to me, Stephen, that too much of this retrospective type stuff is happening here in the Central Highlands. I just wanted to point that out. comes up often enough.
Any comment back from...
I'd need to know a bit more detail. Well, make a comment on that statement.
Okay.
Anything more, Councillor Cassidy?
Sorry.
Councillor Archer?
I just wondering, Stephen, if you know what's going on at Fintonbury. We're a subdivision of land use for utilities. I presume that's a Tas Water thing, or is it...
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments to do with DES? There we go. So, I was right to reply, Councillor Honour. Anything there?
No.
Alrighty, so I shall. Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands. That is carried. Very good. And we have 90. I've got two hands up. I don't know who was first there for the recommendation. Councillor Meacham or Cassidy?
No, you go for it, Robert.
Councillor Cassidy. Yeah. That was a bit of a tie with the hands, I think. Alrighty, so Lake Crescent Boat Ramp Walkway and Landing. It's moved by Councillor Cassidy and seconded by Councillor Meacham. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
No, I don't have anything to add to it.
Pardon?
I don't have anything.
Alrighty, Councillor Meacham is the seconder.
I'd be interested to know if the Plunder of the Trust has any sort of verb. So I'm looking towards Councillor Archer in terms of that sort of input.
Would you like to respond, Councillor Archer?
I can't speak on behalf of the Trust, Mayor. I'm no longer a member. But I note that there's a document here where the Trust endorsed it, so that's great. And I think it's a positive thing. But I do have some reservations about it. Because it's been supported by the Trust, I don't think I've got any option other than to support the proposal. But I do have concerns about us with the ongoing maintenance. I don't have a problem with the ownership, but this is an IFS-sponsored project, and I think the responsibility for the maintenance should fall to them. So I think Council should go ahead and provide support, but should not make the contribution of the $5,000 and also not be responsible for the maintenance. We own the car park only, is my understanding. The rest of it would be some form of a formal arrangement between ourselves and Crown Law or the other landowner. But my view is, yes, we should support it because obviously the Trust have felt comfortable with what they've discovered, but my view is we shouldn't be wearing an ongoing maintenance cost on this.
Okay, Councillor Ora.
I think our strategic plans clearly wants Council to look at enhancing tourism opportunities, and this is clearly meets that objective. For $5,000, it's not big picture stuff, bit of maintenance.
So what you have, Councillor, in front of you, Councillors, is the Council give approval to Inland Fisheries to construct the boat ramp or by landing on Council-owned property at Bay Crescent, and the Council make application to the State Government for a lease on the portion of Crown land over which the structure will be built. And then the second one is that Council contribute $5,000 towards the construction of the walkway landing on the condition that the contribution be made in 2025-26 financial year. And the third part is that Council take over the ownership and maintenance of the walkway landing after any defects liability period in the construction contract has expired. So it sounds to me like you're not supporting the three, some councillors. Is that right?
That's right.
Not supporting what, sorry?
The three I just read out.
I thought it was one motion.
Well, I've got one, two, three under the recommendation, see?
It's one motion, though.
Yeah.
No, the motion is all or nothing.
Yeah, correct.
Well, you can split it, can't you?
If you wanted an amendment, you would have to do an amendment to say that we're prepared to accept the Council to approve the form and leave it at that. But that would have to be an amended motion.
So it's up to you, Councillors, how you want to do this. I'll go round the table. Councillor, all right, your comment again was?
My comment is that we should just put the motion as put.
As put.
The motion as put.
What were you thinking, Councillor?
And if it fails, then we can have something.
Well, I'd like to know what the liability period for the construction contract
is. In most cases, it would be 12 months.
You bet your life 12 months and one day after we're going to have to
I'd like to have a bit more confidence in the fact that this kind of structure shouldn't be that difficult to do.
Councillor Archer, you've sort of spoke to this, haven't you?
Yes, I mean, I'd like to take on board what other councils have said and move an amendment which covers the first two parts. So we would go ahead with the $5,000 towards construction and we would approve it, but we would not be responsible in part three for the maintenance.
So can I hear the other councillors before we take that amendment?
No, we need a second.
We have to go to the amendment.
Yeah. So what was the motion?
The motion is that council go ahead with the first two parts of this recommendation. The council will contribute the $5,000 towards it, as some of the people around the table feel we should, and that we should support the construction. But in the third part, we should not take over the maintenance and ownership of the structure once complete.
Seconded that motion.
So who
seconded
that amendment?
Councillor Miller.
Councillor Miller.
No, I second the motion, not the...
The motion? No, the amendment.
Give it to Councillor Bailey. I'm not fussed.
Okay.
I won't find out.
Councillor Bailey. Right. Okay, done. So
debate on the amendment.
So we need a debate on the amendment so all councillors have the opportunity to speak. Councillor Meacham.
Look, for simplicity's sake, and I endorse the we need to do more by way of support to the tourism sector. This is a really significant fishing water. I don't support this amended. I think the sums involved in leaving the maintenance of this to anybody else is fraught. You know, IFS is neglectful of so many things. We aren't neglectful. I'm sorry, fellas, but I don't support the amendment.
So what I'll do is I'll go around the table to see a support or not support, and
do we have speakers to?
Well, we've got speakers.
We've got speakers. For a motion or against the motion?
Oh, okay. Yep.
We spent months talking about enhancing tourism opportunities.
Yeah.
Lord, and now we're talking about decreasing them. And we're arguing over $5,000 out of a $7 million. We're arguing over a few hundred dollars maintenance every year, probably $1,000 in 10 years, out of a $6 million or $7 million budget. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And we need tourists. So I'm against the...
Well, I think we'll have to go back to who supports, don't we?
Any further speakers?
Yes.
Amendment.
To the amendment.
In terms of the amendment, I get an opportunity to speak now.
Yes, you moved it, but you'll close the debate.
I don't want to close the debate. Let everyone keep speaking and I'll speak.
Would anyone like to speak to the amendment?
I agree with Jim on this. I don't think the maintenance is going to be much of an issue throughout fishing season or whenever we do it. I just personally, I think that we ought to just go with the original motion.
Right, Councillor Miller, you'd like to speak to it?
The maintenance. The inland fisheries have been neglectful at times, but I'm just wondering if it's that important, then we don't take over the ownership and maintenance. But if we have to do some maintenance on it, then maybe we just do it and then we build inland fisheries.
So obviously some mixed feelings around the table, and we've got the amendment, so I put the amendment up.
No, Councillor.
Well, we still haven't heard from We haven't heard from Tony and we haven't heard from John. Yeah,
but we had the opportunity. Do they wish to make comment?
Councillor Bailey's the seconder. Did you name
it? I agree for the first two. But as far as taking over ownership, I am against it.
Okay. Any other councillors to speak? Right. Okay.
I want to reply then, Mayor, just to finalise the debate. My concerns are that I just don't want that the council to be continually picking up IFS's ball and running with it. We seem to be wanting to build toilet blocks everywhere. These are really high maintenance items. They seem to be wanting to build ramps and walkways. I just think it's a really bad ongoing precedent for us. I think if the IFS wants to build and maintain this stuff, that's okay, but the community in general should not be picking up the can, and not just the can for the maintenance, but we're talking about the responsibility. And so if this falls into disrepair, someone gets injured, long sad face, it comes back to us, and I don't believe that's a place that we should be involving ourselves in unless it's a significant community benefit. What community benefit is there? I think the ramp is there now, it's pretty bloody good. I was involved in putting it there. I really think the whole thing's an expensive, glamorous looking walkway at not much benefit, because I think that I think the ramp there is pretty good as it is. But if there's a general feeling to support it, happy to go along with that. Happy to go along with the $5,000. But for the next 30 years, I don't want to see council lumbered with having to pick up the maintenance and all the responsibility for insurance cover provided as a safe farm. And if you look at that area up there, the wind and water and weather in general is pretty bloody hard in that environment, and so I think it'll be a high maintenance structure for it to take on, and I just think council's been pretty generous in terms of making a donation, but I just don't think, I think it should rest with the IFS so they don't come knocking on our door for additional funding the whole time. But
mobile off please, Councillor.
Yeah, done.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Archer. You have closed the debate, and what we are moving, the amendment is, so everybody is clear, the first two, that Council give approval to Inland Fisheries to construct the boat ramp walkway landing on Council-owned property at Lake Crescent, and that Council make application to the State Government for a lease on the portion of Crown land over which the structure is built. And the second part is that Council contribute $5,000 towards the construction of the walkway landing on the condition that the contribution be made in 2025-26 financial year. That's it. So it was moved, the amendment was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Bailey.
I'm not.
No, it's Councillor Bailey. Those in favour of the amendment, please raise your hands. I'll record it is Councillor Miller, Archer, Bailey, Radio, Hall, and the other part. Is
those for the motion?
Oh, one, two, three, four. Those for that motion?
Those against
the motion.
That's against the amendment.
Against the amendment, yeah.
So you're against, Lee?
Yes.
Four on. So four motion's lost.
So the motion is lost, so we go back
to the original motion.
To the original recommendation by Councillor Cassidy.
I'm sorry.
We just lost the motion.
Four all.
It's lost.
Yeah, no, I understand that part of it, but it should be 4-5.
Fine. Councillor Cassidy wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here.
I'm sorry. I had to.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
We go back to the recommendation that was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Meacham, and that is the three,
dot
right? Three dot points. Yep. Are we clear on that?
Yep.
So those in favour of the three dot points, please raise your hands. So it's Councillor Allwright, Honour, Meacham, Cassidy and myself.
So five, four
goes through.
Just carry.
Okay. So, can I just ask another question? Just a point of clarification. If the amendment had got through, how would council be able to make an application if we weren't going to own it to the state government? Would that still be able to would that still have been able to happen?
It's the first part is, you know, quite clearly the ownership of the site.
So the last part is the ownership.
The ownership of the site, not the structure
that
they want to put it on.
Yeah.
So we own part of it, Crown loan land owns part of it. So for that to occur, we need to get the authorisation.
I know, but if council wasn't going to, if the amendment had got up and council wouldn't have taken ownership of the structure, how would it work that we would make application to the council for?
Well, we can own that.
Or at least.
Righty-o, 20, operational matters arising. 20.1, consideration of amendments to the Central Highlands Council schedule of fees and charges 2024-2025 for planning scheme amendment, development and environmental services. The recommendation that council amend the schedule of fees and charges 2024-25, development of and environmental services for amendments to the planning scheme as follows. Planning scheme amendment assessment $6,000. Statutory advertising $1,876. Tasmanian Planning Commission fee payable to TPC if amendment initiated. Current fee as set by TPC. Do you have anything to say on that session, or just there for anything? No, it's.
I don't have anything else.
No, it's more. It's more planning. It's Louisa, who's not here, obviously. Mover, please. Mover, Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Honour, anything to discuss you would like to mention on the recommendation?
No.
Councillor Cassidy?
No.
Councillor Laws? Councillor Archer?
Yeah, Mayor, I just wonder what the existing charging structure is. You know, what I don't want to do is do away with our cost recovery on all the major changes.
Mm.
Can you tell me, Stephen, what the current fees and things would be? Because I don't want to see us do away with the opportunity to recoup our costs for any of these amendments.
It would have been handy to have it there in front of us, wouldn't it?
Well, it is. Stephen's putting out apparently the fees for
amendments.
So I wasn't sure that specifically pertains just to this, what we're putting up. So, in other words, I probably haven't expressed it well. We've got a motion that sets these fees. Below it, we've got the current fee for the amendments to the planning scheme. What's in my mind is, in our previous fee structure, prior to amendments that I moved, where we get full cost recovery, does this diminish our ability to get cost recovery should a large developer come to us wanting a planning?
No, this is a rezoning application.
Right.
It's not in regards to ones that comply with the planning scheme or discretionary or whatever. They're different. This is quite clearly if someone wants to rezone their land to put other infrastructure on. And the reason we've done it is because we're reasonably out of sync with most other councils.
I can understand that. So what we're saying is at the moment it's $1,700, we're going to $6,000, which is more in common. But do you see any risk to us, Stephen, in terms of large developers looking for an amendment to get around the scheme? No.
We know of one that wants to put in an application to rezone a parcel of land, and that's the reason why we've looked at the fees. Because our costs to do a rezoning, they're under this number.
In that order?
Yeah.
So we're not talking potentially $1 million?
No, not even close. No. It'd have to be an absolute disaster to go out to something like that.
Right.
Councillor Meacham, all right, and Cassidy.
GMC's answered my question.
Councillor all right.
Sorry, no, I'm fine. I'll just note that in the attachments there's a big variation between the different councils.
Correct.
And it's surprising the big variation.
Councillor Cassidy.
Do you think raising these fees will discourage development, Stephen?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Councillor, back to Councillor Honour for right of reply.
No, Stephen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Cassidy. Please raise your hand, Councillor Laws. In favour. All carried.
Yeah, I'd like to put it on notice, Mayor, that I am nervous about us getting stung down the track with this, and so I've foreshadowed that in the next meeting there might be further discussion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. 20.2 is Council Committees and Council Reps. Council considers the development of the committee structure to undertake specific function of Council's operations and following councillors nominated, and we've been through that in a workshop. Extensively. Mover, please. Councillor Miller, second to Councillor Honour. Councillor Miller, any comments?
No, that's fine.
Thank you. Councillor Honour?
No.
That's fine. Councillor Laws? Councillor Meacham?
In relation to the Economic Development Special Committee, I would really... This is a broad ambit committee, and it's a natural nature to the, or a complementary element to the Community Development Committee. I advocate that we meet quarterly, not as required, because I'm not even sure what would push a requirement. This is front-footed stuff. This is about us doing front-footed work, not reactive work. So, I favour us. And I've noticed that one also as a community member. We would do what? An advertisement for expressions of interest? GMST? Yeah.
So, you'd like that 6 months?
Quarterly.
That'd be good. The councillor's happy with that, quarterly? Yeah? Alrighty. So, write a reply, Councillor Miller. Anything to say there?
No, that's fine. I'm quite happy with that.
Alrighty. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Honour. Councillors, please raise your hand in favour. Okay, that is carried. Thank you, Miller. ...20.3, the GAT General Meeting, Notice of Motions. The first one is... Oh, I better get a mover, please. Councillor Archer, seconder. Councillor Miller. The Council agree, disagree the motion funding for the line marking on local government roads from the Hobart City Council.
So is it to agree or disagree?
Oh, sorry.
Agree with one, but not the second one.
To the council agree with the motion. Do you want to speak to this one, Stephen?
No, I think the line marking one's fair and reasonable.
Okay. So
I'm surprised that I thought we always paid for our own. So there you go.
Yeah,
I didn't need to know that.
Look, it's two of each way. Sometimes you do it and you do your own. Sometimes you get some funding from them. It's just hit and miss.
Although that, what did they say, 850 is not going to go far in Tassie, is it?
It's a good
cost. 100,000 to do Holly Tree Road once.
And that's the issue.
Crazy.
Indeed.
Okay, well, that particular recommendation was moved by Councillor Archer, seconded by Councillor Miller. Did I ask you for a reply, Councillor Archer?
Mayor, I thought when I moved the motion that we were voting on different issues. I'm supportive, as I said, of the first one, but not of the seven-star energy rating business. But I noticed, you know, having read it again, yes, I am supportive of the line marking, but just to be clear, and they are separate motions.
They are. So, move by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Miller, those for that particular recommendation. Please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. And we've got that one. The next one, Councillor Cassidy, is moving this recommendation.
What recommendation? Agree or disagree?
Reading? Just a moment. That council agree or disagree with the motion adoption of seven star energy efficiency requirements from Hobart City Council. Moved Councillor Cassidy that.
Yes.
That what? Agree.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely agree with it. You know, there's. There's houses in our municipality that don't have any insulation or minimal insulation. Yeah. You know, you look at how cold it gets up in Miami, for example. How many up there would have, you know, double or triple pane windows? You know, this makes too much sense.
Yeah. Councillor Machen, you're the seconder. Would you like to speak?
I wholly endorse what Councillor Cassie has just said. Having lived and worked in the UK at one stage and seen there the deplorable dated housing, it's very attractive to build cheaper houses with lesser energy provisions and then flog them off to people. This is a very good progressive move on the part of Legat. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Miller, Archer, and all right.
Miller. Having over the last 10 years built a house, we had a five star rating. And I think the seven-star rating is just going to add more cost to a house. But at the moment, people can't afford, and I just agree with the motion.
Initial cost.
You have an opportunity in a moment. Councillor Archer.
I'd like to endorse what Councillor Miller said. Yeah, I think, you know, for young people trying to get a start in housing and anything that we can do to encourage people to get a roof over their head in the first case, I fully endorse. It's very important to have insulation and things, but I'm very concerned about the state government. I think have taken the right approach where they've kicked us down the road, because, you know, I think housing has become unaffordable for many young people, and I think that should be at their discretion as to how much insulation I want to put in initially, and so I support the Councillor Miller in opposing this.
All right.
So it's not retrospective.
No.
So, but I sort of do have my reservations. We built a house a few years ago, but that's 5-star. But when it's hot, you've got to have the air conditioning going flat out. But when it gets hot, it won't let the heat out. So there's a double-edged thing here. Open it costs a lot more money to build. But when that's double glazed and all the insulation, but you get hot, you got to have the air conditioning flat out to get it down. So that adds to your cost. So I don't know where I think really. So anyway, put the motion, and I'll work out where to vote.
Okay. Any other comments, councillors? Write a reply to you, Councillor Cassidy.
Well, you know, we're looking to meet climate change targets 2030 and 2050, and we want to save energy here in Tasmania. You know, it's costing a heck of a lot of money. So, you know, the problem is I basically live in a tent, you know, and... You know, in one situation, you can't, as Jim said, you can't get let the heat out. But at the other end of the spectrum, it never gets warm enough in the winter without with minimal insulation, thin walls. You know, where I come from, listening to my funny accent, the sheetrock, the weatherboard there is very thick, but this stuff is paper thin. You fart and you break a wall. You know, I mean, that's all insulation. You know, not, I don't know. I just think it's important to build them right in the first instance. You know, build right from the start. And then, you know, over the lifetime of ownership, you'll recover those costs.
Okay, well, Councillor Cassidy has closed the debate, so I'll put the recommendation that Council agree with the motion, adoption of seven star energy efficiency requirements from Hobart City Council. Those in favour of that particular recommendation, please raise your hands. Two in favour, Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Meacham. Those against, please raise your hands. Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer, Honour, Bailey, Hall, and myself. So obviously that particular recommendation is lost. Recommendation. Does Council agree, disagree to the motion, public open space contributions from Brighton Council? Mover, Councillor Allwright. Seconder, Councillor Meacham.
Disagree.
Sorry, what was that, Councillor?
Disagree.
This is on disagree.
Well, I don't endorse that one.
Will you listen to what I've got to say?
I'm going to agree.
So who's seconding?
I won't second it, disagree.
Oh, well, yes, still seconded.
I can still second it.
Yeah, you can still second it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so this is about, we're discussing at the moment that Council disagree with the motion, public open space contributions from Brighton Council. All righty, Councillor. All right.
Sounds good theoretically, Mayor, but we do have a public open space contribution just on residential and sort of other land. It excludes agricultural and rural zone. I mean, if someone wants to subdivide their farm, it's a bit hard on the between two sons, for example, to charge the farmer 5% of the value of the farm, and that goes to the council coffers. And so this doesn't specifically address that. It's more specific against strata titles, which I don't know how that works, but I wouldn't be agreeing with that until we get a lot more clarity about, well, maybe we'll be ending up charging our farmers, you know, big time if they want us subdivide their farm, and I don't think that's going to be in the best interest. But in Brighton, they don't have any farmers, so they've got one, I think.
Really?
I can't remember.
So that's Council. All right, now Councillor Meacham is the second.
Oh, as I presaged, I don't actually support or disagree on this one. This is a state of affairs that I thought would have already existed, and like when I worked on local government in New South Wales 40 years ago, I'm sure this was in place. And the development of public open spaces, especially new developments, and having worked in a radically expanding area, this was what gave us a great line of capital to build, you know, significant community resources. So it's one I won't be voting in favour of this. Yeah.
All right, Councillor Miller and then Cassidy.
Having lived within the Brighton Council and the new subdivisions that they were doing down at Old Beach, there's no open spaces at all in those subdivisions. Behind that new subdivision, behind the Brighton Council, they have not
allowed for any open space, and as far as I can tell, the new housing division between Compton Downs and the new and Herdman's Cove. Herdman's Cove's got a few. There's no, they'll all be built out. So that's all I've got up here.
Councillor Cassidy?
Well, so there's two arguments or two issues with this. You know, as Yvonne had pointed out, you know, dense housing developments, social housing, for example, I think open space is necessary, absolutely necessary, but it wouldn't apply to a municipality like ours. So again, you've got these folks who live in these large metropolitan areas trying to set rules for rural councils like ours. On the other side of it, if they were really thinking clearly or clear-headed about this, you know, by having more public open space, then that reduces the number of houses that they can actually have. For a certain
amount of them. Say again, please. Give somewhere for the gangs hanging out.
Well, so, you know, you understand there's really two sides that should be considered here, and then, or three sides, you know, that we shouldn't be having these metropolitan areas making decisions for rural councils. And then if they do, and this gets up, then how does it impact, like Jim had said, you know, our farms and so forth? It would severely impact farmers and rural municipalities. So, yeah, I absolutely disagree with this.
Okay, so what I will do is put the recommendation, and that recommendation is that council disagrees. So be aware of what the recommendation is at the moment. That council disagree with the motion, public open space contributions from Brighton Council. So those councils...
I'll just like to finish, Mayor, my suspicion is Brighton Council has been right at the forefront of all this subdivision stuff since they invented Brighton Council.
Yeah.
My suspicion is that they've charged public open space contribution and pocketed the money. Right, so what you're saying, do you know whether that's right or not, Damien? So what you're saying...
No, we don't speak to the gallery, I'm sorry. Okay.
What you're saying, you can't see enough public open space in subdivisions, but I think there's probably more to it than
that. We won't involve the gallery or anybody else, so let's get back to the recommendation that you actually move council, all right?
Nicely.
And it was seconded by Councillor Meacham, that council disagree with the motion, public open space contributions from Brighton Council. If you disagree, please raise your hands. So, Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer, Honour, Cassidy, Bailey, Hall. Oh, and me.
And disagree.
And...
You disagree with the disagreements or what?
No. I disagree with the motion.
The motion is carried. The only one against the motion was Councillor Meacham.
Thank you.
Agenda.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, the next one I want to move.
So that is passed, carried. Proposed changes to local government General Regulations 2025, that council support the proposed changes to the local government. You would have read, there's quite a bit to this one. Could I have a mover, please?
I bet you know I
do. If I move it, I can't move an amendment, can I?
No, you can't.
Put your hands in your pocket.
Councillor Cassidy has moved it. Do I have a second?
I'll have a second.
Councillor Miller is second. Councillor Cassidy, as the mover, would you like to speak to this?
No.
Councillor Miller as the seconder?
No.
Councillor Laws? Councillor Archer?
Mayor, I've got some concerns with just a couple of small parts. One of them is, I'm just looking for the part now, we're talking about leave of absence. Here it is, under Part 50. Part 50, number 3, a leave of absence may not be granted retrospectively. I think what that's ignoring is the people's health. That we can get people who are unwell and unable to attend a council meeting but would retrospectively request a leave of absence. And I think it's unreasonable that that not be granted. And then it's 50.3.
I don't think it's
legal. Just a moment, Steve.
Can we go back to the motion in 20.4? It's the next motion.
Oh, sorry.
You're
talking
to.
You've
got excited there, Councillor.
Yeah, sorry.
So the recommendation was moved by Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Miller. Those for that recommendation that I read earlier, please raise your hand. Anyone against? No, that is carried. Now we go across Councillor Archer's concerns.
We need a move and second for it.
Just a minute. Councillor Cassidy is the mover.
Is he?
Seconder, please. Councillor Cassidy had his hand up earlier. Okay. Seconder, Councillor Miller. Rightio, this is the Council support the proposed changes to the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025. Councillor Cassidy, you're the mover. Would you like to speak to this?
No.
Councillor Miller, you're the seconder. Would you like to speak to this?
No, I think Councillor
Archer
is... is wanting to speak to this one.
You mean I'd like to propose it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't asked councillors yet.
No.
Now, would councillors like to speak, Councillor Archer?
Mayor, I'd like to propose an amendment that I think generally a lot of this stuff I actually thought was the way things were. Now, obviously some things aren't, but I thought they were, so that's an education to me, surprise, surprise. Mm. But in Part 50, Leave of Absence amended, it talks about a leave of absence may not be granted retrospectively, and I think that's very unfair in the circumstances we've had recently with a couple of very ill councillors, and so I'd like to move an amendment that the motion is as proposed, other than 50.3 be removed.
Yeah. Which one?
50, leave of absence amended, and then it's 0.3, a leave of absence may not be granted retrospectively.
Simpler process. Instead of an amendment, are the councillors who moved and seconded that motion happy with that change?
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
That's Councillor Cassidy Miller.
Yeah, Councillor Miller, are you happy with that change?
I am extremely happy with that change.
Okay, so we just don't do it as an amendment,
So sorry, Steve, where are we with that?
Quite clearly, the mover and seconder are quite happy with that amendment to their original motion, so we just as an original motion, not an amendment.
Alrighty. And that was to do with the leave of absence?
Correct.
One other thing that I have a question about is where it talks about leave of absence on parental leave. And I guess parental leave is very specific in this thing, but it talks about, with three, if I can find it.
51.
A leave of absence parental leave cannot be taken concurrently with leave of absence, but it also says the purpose for which councillors gives written notice of the leave for parental leave and the periods involved are to be recorded in the minutes. Now, I'm thinking not so much parental leave, but people who might have mental health requirements to take leave. It would be very unfair to see that published in the public domain. Would this extend to that matter, do you think, given that they might already have been given leave of absence?
But don't we get leave of absence in the closed?
You can do it in closed.
So that would be covered in closed, I would imagine?
Right.
So you can do it in both, either open or closed.
Thank you.
I think that's what happened once before.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, it was.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we'll go back to the recommendation moved by Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Miller. Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands.
Can I ask a question now before we vote on
this? All right.
Giving an apology, is this meant to do away with an apology?
No.
Because the leave of absence, you sort of know in advance when you're going to be away, so I'm not quite sure of the purpose.
It's not an apology, it's leave of absence.
Yeah, because you know in advance, but to give someone, to grant someone a leave of absence when they're already absent,
That's basically what we're saying. That's what with Scotty once.
What's in my mind, for instance, is we could have a councillor
who's on... We don't mention names because you'd be...
A councillor who is on leave for maternity leave.
Yeah.
And then they have postnatal depression. And so the reason for the extension is the postnatal depression, because it is specifically about parental leave. And we will...
So you just extend the... effectively extending the leave of absence.
It's just showing some compassion in these circumstances.
I will put the recommendation up, moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Just made it back to the table, Councillor Meacham. So that's carried. Okey-dokey. 20.6 is the draft response to local government election bill. So, a mover. Councillor Cassidy, a seconder. Councillor Miller. Council support the 4 dot points. Rightio. Okay, Councillor Cassidy, do you want to speak?
Yes, I would. Point one, I understand that it would be able to, you know, save councils money, but also I feel two minds on this issue, that it would remove the democratic process. I believe the electors should choose the mayor and the deputy mayor. And the reason for that, I believe it is possible that a mayor and deputy mayor, as it stands on this draft response, they could be pre-selected long before the election by various folks conspiring to set an agenda with council or on council. So I would disagree with number one, but at the same time, you know, I think what they're trying to do there, as I understand it, is to take out some of the politics or the heat after a mayor or a deputy, you know, because there's some folks that may feel pissed off that they didn't get elected mayor. But, you know, mayor, for example, I ran against you, but I'm not pissed off. You're the mayor. You got elected. God bless you. You know what I'm saying?
This is our response. This is council's response.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
I've got my response.
What I'm saying is I really feel that... I really think this needs to be looked at a little bit more carefully. It needs to be thought out a little bit more.
I understand. Councillor Olin Archer. Councillor Miller, you were seconder.
I agree with Councillor Cassidy. This can be very divisive amongst a group of people. It can make tricky groups, and therefore the council would not be doing their job right. Now, looking down with this, are we looking at each individual reform or one at a time?
Or you can go through the whole.
Well, I was just looking at...
You mean the 1, 2, 3, 4?
No. Down further it says the council, the response was instead of the councils are to elect the deputy mayor at the first ordinary meeting of the term of the council. Otherwise, the role of deputy mayor could be removed entirely or made optional in favour of a provision for acting mayors. Now, to me, I'd like to know what they mean by that. Does that mean that if the mayor at the time has to leave, he or she can appoint an acting mayor amongst all the councillors, or is that acting mayor going to be a permanent, which means that you might as well have a deputy mayor?
Mm-hmm. I think you're right in what you're saying. I understand what you've just said, yes.
I'm glad you do. I'd like to know what they mean, what we mean by an acting mayor.
As it is. What the proposal, there is a thought path that they don't have a deputy mayor at all. and that if the mayor is not available for a meeting, a person is elected, or no, a person is appointed by the mayor to actually be the acting mayor for that time or that meeting. That was one of the proposals.
To me, that could be very divisive too, because you've, if the mayor, say, in scenario, if a mayor then is close to one person, but that person can be made a cliquey group again, and I mean.
I think the main important thing is that this is, it's the community, the ratepayers, who should have the opportunity to choose who they would like on council. And I think this is taking that power away from the ratepayers.
Yeah,
that's the way I read it.
It's diminishing democracy.
Yeah.
It is.
Disagree more.
So I have Councillor Honour Hall and Archer to speak on this. Councillor Honour.
Yeah, I find, look, I can't see the... They say about the costing and that. You're going to be sending postal votes for council laws, so it can be included in that. It comes out at the same time. And if it stays as postal votes, the cost shouldn't be that much more. And, yeah, I'm against electing around the table.
Thank you.
I think you should get out there amongst the people.
Yep. Councillor Hall.
Well, I think, right, is it should be thrown in the public arena due to the fact that if you're not going to be good enough to be mayor, I'd say you've done a pretty poor job last term, and there'd be people on the table that would sit up here. So I think I'm not supporting...
You're not accusing
me. No, but what I'm trying to say...
That didn't come across very...
No, what I'm trying to say is that the community will either want you or who've done the best job at the time, period of time they've been council. I'm not being sarcastic, Mayor. But I just feel as if it should be, this voting system should be just thrown in the public arena. You wouldn't feel disincluded in council. If I was running for mayor and I wasn't successful, I'd accept that fate. I wouldn't, it'd be hard to accept around the table.
I get you. Councillor Archer?
I take completely the opposite view to too many of my colleagues, Mayor. I think that a lot of dysfunction in council falls when you've got three or four disaffected people who stood for mayor, didn't get the role, and then go on to undermine the mayor's role for the rest of their term. And I can name at least three or four instances I'm personally aware of where that's happened, and I think there's a lot of sour grapes and personal politics and all that sort of stuff that really shouldn't come into it. I think the community is entitled to get a better representation than that. I think the example that we've got with parliamentary democracy, where the party decide who lead them, and that person's got to keep the numbers around the table, is a very functional model. Because what it means is that you need to get the support of your colleagues, or you're in a world of pain. Mm-hmm. And so you get a better reflective view, in my view of the room, by the leader having to keep the support of the room, not necessarily always putting their views forward, but putting forward the views of the majority. And again, that's a pretty difficult juggling task, but I think that people should be entitled to that degree of working together, and I think we'd get a much more functional council if we did have them elected around the table, and they can be elected or dismissed at the whim of the council vote. And I think that we would end up with much more functional councils rather than is the instance at the moment where you've got half a dozen in some cases. This affected people who weren't able to get the numbers last time, trying to undermine the person who did get that vote. And so I'm very, very much in favour of this model that's proposed, where we have the mayor and the deputy mayor. I think the cost of democracy is really very minor in terms of the considerations here. To me, it's all about getting a functional organisation, not the extra voting cost.
Okay, Councillor Meacham.
I generally support what Councillor Arthur has just put forward. My only reservation about this, and we mentioned in workshop discussion the example of Mark Latham. You know, so the election, first among equals, the first among equals model, and actually working out the one impediment that I see to this is that in a newly elected council where people don't really know the depth of knowledge or experience or skill of others around the table, it can be more a question of salesmanship than evidence of substantial past performance.
That doesn't mean they keep the role.
Sorry?
But that doesn't mean that.
I agree. And then you're so removal by a simple majority. But that gets pretty bruising too over time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, first among equals, yeah, generally I'm okay with that.
All righty. So, right of reply, Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah. So, I accept 2, 3 and 4, but 1 I don't accept. And the reason I don't accept is just take the instance of Hobart City Council. And you've got so many green councillors there.
Green and so,
so who ends up being mayor or deputy? Someone that's you know, supportive of the Greens' agenda. But let's say someone like Simon Baracus, who was a young liberal, you know.
No names.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. These guys, they wouldn't, you know, stand a, you know, a chance.
And that's reflective of the people in the room.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think this would set up more division. And,
debate closed.
That's right.
Councillor Cassidy has closed the debate.
You know, so I'm saying 2, 3, and 4 I go along with, 1 I don't.
Yeah, but you can only move the motion as it stands. Yeah.
The motion as it stands with the 4 dot points.
Okay, I'm against it.
So
I'm against the whole damn thing.
It was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller. What I need to do is, there was no amendment made, so I will put the recommendation up, and those that support the recommendation we have in front of us, please raise your hands if you support the recommendation. Support the proposed changes is Councillor Archer, Meacham, Bailey. Alrighty. If you do not support the changes, raise your hands. Councillor Allwright, Miller, Honour, Cassidy, Hall and myself. So obviously that particular recommendation is lost.
Yep.
Alright. Got a whole book to read here. Oops. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh. Did you have anything else?
Yes, there is.
You read that letter, didn't you? Yes. Sorry, Councillor
Mayor. I just wonder whether as a supplementary item we receive Councillor Miller's report.
Oh.
Yes.
Almost forgot that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Councillor Miller and I attended the Women's Leadership Conference. It was very, very good. And Councillor Miller has done a report that she gave me all a copy of. Thanks, Councillor Miller. And is there any questions for Councillor Miller on her report? No? Thank you, Councillor Miller, for that.
The only thing I'd say there was that, as I said at the beginning, the advice that we got and the information we got, I think could have been relevant to any person, but it just happened to be women this time. I know that I've made some... cut and paste one thing, and I forgot to take it out. But anyway, but the speakers were great. Julie Bishop was excellent. I really enjoyed her. Madeline Overfield was good, but Mary from Le Gap.
Niles.
Is it Niles?
Mary.
She was excellent to listen to. But yeah, some of the advice I put in there and the information we've got, and I think it's well worth people to read some of the advice and just reflect on it. And you know, the way, Kirsten Wiley said, we're building the leaders of the future, and that's something that we need to think about, especially, I mean, we're not getting any younger, guys.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor,
on your hand up. Yeah, Councillor Cassidy and I attended Malbina Matters.
Oh, yes, would you like
a small thing for the next meeting on that?
Yes, that'd be excellent.
Okay.
I'll let Julie do that because I
How start... about you work together?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Before I close, is there anything else? All right, well, thank you for your contribution, and I declare the meeting closed at, 4:12?
Yep.
12:04.
Yeah,
thank you all. Thank you,
sir. Guys, there's some apples on the table there, laid in the snow. Please take them. Oh, I do not need any more.
I will take them.
No, take them because they're beautiful apples.
Yeah, thank you.